Good morning, everyone. We're reading in Book 1, the Book of Beginnings, Canto 4, The Secret Knowledge. And we were reading in the fourth section, page 61. I think we stopped at line 564 on page 61. This section begins. All here, where each thing seems its lonely self, are figures of the sole transcendent one. Only by him they are. His breath is their life. An unseen presence molds the oblivious clay. But then Sri Aurobindo started to tell us also about the Mighty Mother, and we read that there are two who are one and play in many worlds. So we'll continue from line 565. It is these two who are one. We can begin at the back. Praveen, would you read, please? Bottom of the page 61. Thus have they made their play with us for roles.
Thus have they made their play with us for roles. Author and actor with himself as scene. He moves there as the soul, as major. Here on earth, where we must fill our hearts. We know not how shall run the drama, our uttered sentences, wailing. Her mighty plan, she holds back from our sight. She has concealed her glory and her hope, and disguised love and wisdom in her heart. Of all the marvel and beauty that are her, only a darkened vision we can see.
Thank you. He, the one, the Lord, is the soul of everything here. And he has emanated his own conscious force as the mother of being who has given birth to all these forms in the universe. In the universe, he moves as the soul, she moves as nature. So here on the earth, we play out their game. They are married secretly in our thought and life. Our deeds, our hopes are intimate to their tale. We are involved in this love story and this game of hide and seek, which is going on between soul and nature. But here on the earth, where we have to fill our parts, play our parts as if in a theater, we don't know what is the plot. We don't know how the drama's course is going to run. We speak, but our uttered sentences veil in their thought, hide their thought, the thought of the soul and of nature. She, the mother, holds back her mighty plan from our sight. She doesn't tell us about it. She has concealed her glory and her bliss and disguised the love and wisdom in her heart. We think of her as unconscious material nature working mechanically because she's disguised her love and wisdom. So of all the marvel and beauty that are hers, only a darkened little we can feel. We don't see much of it. Still we see something, no? We can look at nature and be inspired and marvel at its wonders. But that's only a darkened little of all her marvel and beauty. Kyung-ae.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here on the earth, he too, the Lord, the soul, is disguised. He wears a diminished Godhead, the small soul within each of his creatures. He's forsaken his omnipotence, his all power. He moves here as the soul of all his creatures. He's foregone, he's put aside his calm, and he's put aside his infinity. Here he's subject to time. And it seems as if he only knows her, nature. That's what he's focused on. He's forgotten himself. He abandons everything to her to make her great. He hopes in her, in nature, to find himself anew, in a new way, incarnate in a body, marrying the peace of his infinity to the ecstasy of her creative passion and power. He, the one, is the possessor of the earth and heavens, but he leaves everything to her, the cosmic management. He delegates it all to her and just watches. He is the witness of her scene, the drama that she plays out on earth. Is it Naren there?
Yeah.
Would you read?
A supernumerary on a stage, he speaks no words, hides behind the means. He takes birth in a world, creates on a will, demands the animatic gesture sense, the fluctuating chance, turns of a moon, works out the meaning she seems not to know, and serves a secret purpose. As one who prayed for him, he worships her. He adores her as his regent of desire. He yields to her as a mover of his will. He burns the incense of his nights and days, offering his life splendor of sacrifice.
Thank you. Anybody would like to ask anything about this passage? A supernumerary. It's an extra. We know about extras in films. No, they are the people you need to make up a crowd scene. He doesn't have a big part to play. He doesn't speak any words. It's this image of the theater. He's there behind the wings. He doesn't step out onto the stage. Or if he steps out on the stage, he's just one of the crowd. No? But he takes, yes, sorry. Right.
A soul. Right?
Yes.
And he is learning from that place.
Yes. Yes. He's forgotten himself,
yes.
His eternity, his infinity. He's learning through being a human, a being in the material world.
Right.
Forgotten himself, and he still has to remember himself. We are playing all these roles. Yes. Doesn't it say that somewhere? That we are playing the parts? I can't just find it now.
Yeah, that's the kind of way they play with us by roles.
Yes, that's it. Yes. Yes. Yes, page 565 at the bottom of page 61. The two of them are playing here their game. But we are the roles that they, the masks and disguises that they put on for their drama. Yes, Naren.
My mind is asking a question. It is also said in other books that sometimes in life we get sudden impulse, sudden change of our path.
Yes.
That is the soul. Here it says it has forgotten itself completely. So that's a contradiction.
Yes, it's a kind of paradox. But it's, of course, on the heights and in the in the original consciousness, the supreme consciousness, that hasn't forgotten, but the soul in us has forgotten. Yes, Patricia.
Along with that, then, just like it's at the end of the section that was read, he works out her meanings and serves her secret purpose.
Yes.
So if he has forgotten himself and doesn't know, is that little spark that intuits her purpose?
Yes, he's carrying out her will without realizing.
So,
just like us.
He surrenders himself to him. It's reciprocal surrender.
But
he does not forget what he intends to do. He surrenders the realization of it.
Yes, there's a plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's being worked out. But we, the actors, we don't know the plan. She's deliberately keeping it from us, no? We don't know how the drama's course shall run. And of course, really what he's telling us about here is the roles that these two in one play, the different relationships that they express through all the beings in the manifestation. In one of his aphorisms, he's talked of it as a game of hide and seek between a boy and a girl who are in love and at play. So it's something like that. Here he's continuing that idea. Who would be next, please?
This statement, could you please elaborate? Divines her enigmatic gestures seem. Sense,
yes. To divine, it means, it's connected with the French word deviner, to guess. It's actually to make out or intuit something without knowing how you're getting that knowledge. So, nature makes certain gestures. She appears to us in certain ways, and that's enigmatic. We don't understand it. The soul tries to understand. What does she mean? What does she want?
We also use that word for the diviner, the water diviner.
Right, yes. He knows somehow that there's water there, but he can't really tell us how he knows. It's not through the senses. It's through it's through a form of intuition. Shall we go on, please? Alice, is it Alice? Yes. Yes, S1, yeah.
To be with her and feel her near.
Thank you. He adores her. He worships her as one far too great for him. And she's the ruler, the regent. He should be the king and the lord, really. But he's handed over the management of everything to her. So she's the ruler of his desires. He allows nature to move his will. It's like a kind of sacrifice that he's doing, as if all his nights and all his days, sticks of incense, which he's burning in worship of her. No? The sacrifice of his nights and days. He offers her his life, a splendor of sacrifice. He's rapt, he's hypnotized by her, focused entirely on her, and he's her lover, her suitor. He's soliciting her love and grace. And the bliss that he feels in her is his whole world. So through all the things that she makes him feel and do, he's growing in all the powers of his being. Through nature, he learns to read God's hidden aim in things, in the world of objects. Or he's like a courtier serving an empress. She has a countless retinue. All the beings in the world are part of her retinue, her servants and companions. He doesn't need to be an important one. He doesn't need to be the consort. He's just content to be near her, to feel her nearness. Whatever little blessing comes to him from her, he makes the most of it. And whatever she does, he covers it with his own delight. He thinks everything that she does is so wonderful. If she happens to glance his way, this single courtier in her countless retinue, then he's carried away with happiness. He relies on her for everything that he does and everything that he is. On her largesses, largesse, it's the gifts that a royal person spreads. He throws gold coins into the crowd, or he gives appointments and offices. It's his generosity. No? So on her generosity, he builds his proud, fortunate days. He feels so pleased and happy with whatever she allows him to be, so that he's like a peacock parading his beautiful golden train in the sunshine of her smile. In a thousand ways, he serves her royal needs. Whatever she wants, he will do it. He makes his hours pivot around her will, whatever she wants. Makes all reflect her whims. A whim is just a casual wish or impulse. Everything is their play, the play between the two of them. This whole wide world is only he and she. This is another aspect of the secret knowledge which Aurobindo is showing to us through this, the sections of this canto. This relationship between the Supreme Lord and his conscious force, who expresses herself through what seems to us unconscious nature. So I think we have not read further than this, no? I think we can read now the next two sections.
I want to...
Yes, Patricia.
This line, he reads by her God's hidden name and knows, and we think of nature. And we can think of nature as full of truth and empowerment, but also this can also be referring to the things that happen to us in our work and our daily choices and activities. These are the
Yes.
That is met.
Right. But it's also our search for knowledge.
Exactly.
We look at the world around us and we try to understand it and we try to see, is there a purpose? Some of us decide a priori that there can't be any purpose, but still it's interesting to find out how things work. No? So it's like that. He reads through nature. Man reads through nature. The conscious being in man reads through nature and tries to understand the secret aim in things. But also what he's distilling for us here, I think, in these lines, is the delight that our souls are feeling in this whole process. Often on the surface, we are not feeling that at all. We've forgotten who we are, and we are missing that enjoyment. But still, the Lord within us is enjoying all of it. He just loves it all. And there's nothing else in this whole world but this play between the two of them. So we could enjoy it. So let's read on from the break. You'll begin, Patricia.
Lies beneath her feet. His breast he offers for her cosmic dance, of which our lives are the quivering theater, and none could bear but for his strength within. Yet none would leave because of his delight. His works, his thoughts have been devised by her. His being is a mirror vast of hers. Active, inspired by her, he speaks and moves. His deeds obey her heart's unspoken demands. Passive, he bears the impact of the world as if her touches, shaping and life. His journey through the days is her sun march. He runs upon her roads. Hers is his course, a witness and student of her dole, a partner in her evil and her good. He has consented to her passionate ways. He is driven by her sweet and dreadful force.
Thank you. Marie-Ange, would you read? Thank you. Don.
Her empire in the cosmos she has built, he is governed by her subtle and mighty law. His consciousness is a babe upon her knee. He is being a field of her vast experiment. his being a field of his vast experiment. Her endless space is the playground of his thoughts. She binds to knowledge of the shapes of time and the creative era of the moving mind, and chance that wears the rigid face of faith, and her spore of death and pain and nescience, his change and struggling immortality. His soul is a subtle atom in a mass, his substance a material for her works. His spirit survives amid the death of things. He climbs to eternity through these gaps. He is carried by her from night to deathless life. This grand surrender is his free will's gift. His pure transcendent force submits to her.
Thank you. Karim?
In the mystery of her cosmic ignorance, in the insoluble riddle of her play, a creature made of perishable stuff, and the pattern she has set for him is. He thinks with her thoughts, with her trouble, his blossom ease. He seems the thing that she would have him see. He is whatever her artist will can make. Although she drives him on her fancy's roads, at play with him as with her child or slave, the freedom and the eternal's mastery, and immortality stand above the world. She molds her seeming puppet of an hour. Even in his mortal session in body's house, a nameless traveler, an aimless traveler between birth and death, ephemeral remain of immortality. To reign, she spurs him. He takes up her powers. He has harnessed her to the yoke of her own law. His face of human thought puts on a crown.
Thank you. Ilse?
Hell is your niche, bound to the grail. He studies her ways. If so, he may prevail. Even for an hour, and she walks as he will. He makes of her his point, patience set. So, to obey, she falls.
Feigns, means pretends.
She feigns, she falls the creature's name. She was made, lives only for his use. But conquering her, means he must her slave. He is your dependent. All his means are hers. Nothing without her taking. She rules him still. At last, he wakes to a memory of self. He sees within the face of fate. A godhead breaks out through the human mind. The highest heights she unmasks and the city. Till then, he is a plaything in her day. The seeming region, yet her fancy her. Leading over, moved by her energies, he springs. He acts in the moments of the culmination, stepping in the rooms of her. He stumbles on a dream by her, weak of force. He thought labors in time spirits. His will he thinks his own, his shape in her forge.
Thank you. Paula.
Obedient to world nature's dumb control, driven by his own formidable power, his chosen partner in a titan game, her will he has made the master of his fate, her whim the dispenser of his pleasure and pain. He has sold himself into her regal power. For any blow or boon, that she may choose. Even in what is suffering to our sense, he feels the sweetness of her mastering touch. In all experience meets her blissful hands. On his heart he bears the happiness of her tread and the surprise of her arrival's joy in each event and every moment's chance. All she can do is marvelous in his sight. He revels in her, a swimmer in her sea, a tireless amateur in her world delight. He rejoices in her every thought and act and gives consent to all that she can wish. Whatever she desires, he wills to be. The spirit, the innumerable one, he has left behind his lone eternity. He is an endless birth in endless time, her finite multitude in an infinite space.
Thank you.
The master of existence lurks in us and plays at hide and seek with his own thoughts. In nature's instrument loiters secret law. The immanent lives in man as in his house. He has made the universe his pastime speed, a vast gymnasium of his works of might. All knowing, he accepts our darkened state. Divine, where the shapes of animal are man. Eternal, he ascends to fate and time. Immortal, dallies with mortality. All conscious venture into ignorance. The all blissful born to be insensible, incarnate in a world of strife and pain, he puts on joy and sorrow like a robe and drinks experience like a strengthening wine. He, whose transcendence rules the pregnant vasts, prescient now dwells in our subliminal depths, a luminous individual power. Hello.
Thank you. Petra?
The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has called out of the silence his mute force, where she lay in the featureless and formless hush, guarding from time by her immobile sleep the ineffable puissance of his solitude. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has entered with his silence into space. He has fashioned these countless persons of oneself. He has built a million figures of his powers. He lives in all who lived in his vast alone. Space is himself, and time is only he. The absolute, the perfect, the immune, one who is in us as our secret self. Our mask of imperfection has assumed. He has made his tenement of flesh his own, his image in the human measures cast, that to his divine measure we might rise, then in a figure of divinity, the Maker shall recast us and impose a plan of Godhead on the mortal's mold, lifting our finite minds to his infinite, touching the moment with eternity.
Thank you. Patty?
This transfiguration is earth's due to heaven. A mutual debt binds man to the supreme. His nature we must put on as he put ours. We are sons of God and must be even as he. His human portion we must grow divine. Our life is a paradox with God, says he. But meanwhile, all is a shadow cast by a dream. And to the musing and immobile spirit, life and himself down the avenue, the burden of a long, unmeaning tale. For the key is hid, and by the inconscient kept, The secret God beneath the threshold dwells, in a body obscuring the immortal spirit, a nameless resident vesting unseen powers with matter shapes and motives beyond thought, and the hazard of an unguessed consequence, an omnipotent, indiscernible influence. He sits unfelt by the form in which he lives, and veils his knowledge by the groping mind. A wanderer in a world his thoughts have made, he turns in a chiaroscuro of error and truth to find the wisdom that on high is his.
Thank you. Mila.
As one forgets, he searches for himself, as if he had lost an inner eye he sees, as a sojourner lingering amid arid scenes, he yearns to a home he knows no more. His own self's truth he sees, who is the truth. He is the player who became the play. He is the thinker who became the thought. He is the many who was the silent one. In the single figures of the cosmic force, and in their living and inanimate signs, and in the complex treasury of events, he explores the ceaseless miracle of himself, till the thousandfold enigma has been solved in the single life of an all-witnessing soul.
Thank you. Yeti?
This was one, this is my note. For love was there, enjoined to be forever, to follow the course of time's eternity, and the magic dramas of her sudden moods, and the surprises of her masked ID, and the vicissitudes of her vast caprice, to see this goes, yet ever are they run, and gaze at each other over worn spine. Spirit and matter are their end and source, the seeker of hidden meanings and life's forms, of the great mother's wide uncharted will, and to rule the enigma of her terrestrial ways, he is the explorer and the mariner on the secret inner ocean without him. He is the adventurer and cosmologist of a magic earth's obscure geography, in her material order's fixed design, where all seems sure and, even when changed, the same, even though the end is left forever unknown, and ever unstable is life's shifting flow, his paths are found for him by silent fate, as stations in the ages welter in flood, firm lands appear that tempt and stay a while. Then new horizons lure the mind's advance. There comes no close to the finite's boundlessness. There is no last certitude in which thought can pause, and no terminus to the soul's experience. A limit, a farness never wholly reached, an unattained perfection calls to him from distant boundaries in the unseen. A long beginning only has been made.
So we can pause there and go back, or we can read on to the end of the canto. We can pause there and go back? Yeah, all right. So back to page 60 then. Oh, no, not page 60. 63. This is the knot. You want to read, Karen? Okay, yes.
Me?
Yes.
This is the knot that ties together the stars. The two who are one are the secret of all power. The two who are one are the might and light in kings. His soul, silent, supports the world and her. His acts are her commandments registers. Happy, inert, he lies beneath her feet, his breast he offers for her cosmic dance, of which our lives are the quivering theater, and none could bear but from his strength within, yet none would leave because of his delight.
Mm, thank you. Anything to ask or share? Yes. Yes, there's the traditional Indian image of Lord Shiva lying inert, offering his breast for Kali to dance upon. He's the eternal, stable, unmoving. She is the dance of time. So it's very interesting that, you know, the one, the Lord, supports all this. His soul, silent, supports the world and her. But he also moves in all of us and is active. So his acts are registers. They reflect her commandments. Whatever he says must be done. And then comes this line about her. He's happy, inert, unmoving. He lies beneath her feet. His breast he offers for the cosmic dance, the dance of the universe, of which our lives are the quivering theater. When she dances, everything moves. No? And none of us could bear the movements of that dance if we didn't have his strength within us. And yet, none of us would leave because his delight is also within us. That happiness of feeling the touch of her feet. Tuan.
His words, his thoughts have been devised by her. His being is a mirror vast of hers. Active, inspired by her, he speaks and moves. His deeds obey her heart's unspoken demands. Passive, he bears the impacts of the world as if her touch is shaping his soul and life. His journey through the days is her sunmark. He runs upon her roads. Hers is his course. The witness and the student of her joy and hope. The partner in her evil and her good. He has consented to her passionate ways. He is driven by her sweet and dreadful thoughts. His sanctioning name initials all her words. His silence is his signature to her deeds.
Thank you. Shobindo makes it sound as if the Lord, the soul, is entirely subject to the whims of nature. Whatever she wants, he will do. But he's agreed to this. He's her accomplice. He's a partner in her evil and her good. He's consented. He allows himself to be driven by her force. Like the chief administrator, his sanctioning name initials all her works, whatever she does. It has to be like that. His silence is his signature to her deeds. If the Lord refuses, then she can't do anything, actually. So Sri Aurobindo writes in the Synthesis of Yoga, this is one of the great tools of yoga, that if the Lord within refuses, then sooner or later those movements of nature will cease. So, if... Yes. Yes, this is what he's saying, no? That this is the way that the soul responds to the touches of nature. If we are united with our souls, we will have this experience.
Mm. That once the Lord,
if he withdraws his sanction. No, I was just going to speak about this top line on page 64. Silence means assent. No? So if he doesn't say no, it means that he's saying yes. That's his signature on the work of nature. And of course, we shall see as we read further that this stage of the soul doesn't last forever. The time comes when he recognizes his capacity to actively intervene.
Here, our lives are the covering theater.
Yes.
And he is driven by her sweet and dreadful force.
Hmm.
So her force is sometimes sweet and sometimes dreadful.
Yes, we know that, no?
It is the result of her kind of a dance, and she wants to just play and
But he also says that there's an intention behind her dance and her movement. No? She's driving him to become the ruler. He bows to her, but she's also, perhaps we only read it, no? That she's moving her seeming puppet of an hour. She's moving him towards freedom. She wants him to exert his mastery as the eternal. She wants him to take the stand of immortality. So she's spurring him to reign. And eventually it reaches a stage where he will take up the powers that she gives him. And then he'll put on this crown. We will come to that next week. In a way, she has already given us that crown at this human stage, by giving us a degree of free will, the possibility and the responsibility to make choices. We can read one more passage. Sudhanya. Thank you. So it's a drama. And in the carrying out of this drama, in the scheme of this drama, she, nature, the mother, through his witness sight and through his motion of might, unrolls the material of her cosmic act, her drama. She needs him to see things. And she needs him to give his power or his command to act in order for this drama to be unfolded. It gets unfolded through what seem to be just fancies of the moment and its mood, through the march of this obvious, ordinary world, all the ordinary things that go on and on. But Sri Aurobindo says, actually, in this obvious, ordinary world, everything really is very deep, very strange, miraculous to the eyes that see. And the common forms of nature are marvel wefts, absolutely miraculous weavings, fabrics, so beautifully designed. She's unrolling the material of her cosmic act. All these happenings, some of them lift up our souls and some of them give terrible blows, smite the soul. It's her force that moves things. It's her powers. Sometimes they save, sometimes they slave and destroy. One of the things that is unrolling this act is her word that in the silence speaks to our hearts. But there's also the silence that transcends even the highest word of command. There's all her heights and all the depths that her to which our spirit can move. There are her events that weave the texture of our lives. All this, everything by which we can find or lose ourselves, all these things are part of her cosmic act. Things sweet and bitter, magnificent and mean, things terrible and beautiful and divine. Let's stop there for today. Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.